name is Angela Manny, and I have the privilege of being on a panel with Okia Achia, and I hope I got that right, who's actually going to be talking about a very timely and interesting subject today, which is flu shots at polling sites, partisan politics, or public health. So I think I'll protect my arm when I go to vote today. All right. My subject today is lobbying Congress, what really happens, what you need to know. And I had the privilege of being a Robert Wood Johnson Health Policy Fellow and working as staff to the U.S. Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. And in addition to working on a number of substantive issues like patient safety, HIPAA, things of that nature, we got quite an education as healthcare professionals in lobbying and lobbying tactics. Most of my presentation is going to focus on what we learned, both what's in the literature, but more importantly, what we learned as staffers. I left the corporate world after seeing the light and working on the Hill, and I am now in academia, so it's a totally different life. I was a corporate health care attorney for Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I was an executive for Sisters of Providence Healthcare System prior to becoming a full-time academic. And really changed. It was a mid-career change after spending a year on the Hill and having that wonderful opportunity in a policy perspective. So for those of you that have had lobbying experience, some of this may seem elementary. For those of you that have not, some of it may seem eye-opening. And hopefully you will leave my presentation today thinking, hey, you know, lobbying is not such a dirty word. So today I'm going to talk about lobbying. What is this thing that we call lobbying? Who are the key players on the Hill? What sort of tactics do these people use when lobbying? And more importantly, what can you do as a public health professional to influence healthcare policy? And I will go over some basic strategies today that actually work. All right, and then I will close with just a very brief analysis of SCHIP and what went on behind the scenes in terms of lobbying. All right, so what is lobbying? Well, basically lobbying is an attempt by an individual and organization to influence policy decision. Now, most of what we know about lobbying, we think about large associations. Our association here, American Public Health Association. But lobbying is also something that constituents can do individually, and we'll talk about that toward the middle of the presentation. All right, so here's a great quote. I like this. This is from the lobbyist by, lobbying is as old as legislation, and pressure groups are as old as politics. Last night, I met a friend of mine at the Mayflower. And do you know what the Mayflower is? Well, supposedly it's rumored that that was one of the places that lobbying actually started, in the bar over drinks, negotiating things. We actually paid $30 for two drinks and my draw jobs, but okay, why do we need to understand it as public health professionals? What's the reason? Well, here's a quote by Charles Lewis, who's the executive director, Center for Public Integrity. Those who are organized have the most money, the most influence, and the most mobilized membership are the ones whose viewpoints are being most heard. All right. This is some recent data from the Senate Office of Public Records. This is the first half of 2007. $227 million was spent on healthcare lobbying alone. Think about all the kids we can give hot lunch to for that kind of money, right? There's a large amount of lobbying organizations, 741, the first half of 2007, had some presence. Healthcare organizations had a presence either in D.C. or an office in D.C. But more importantly, what goes on in Capitol Hill, the policies and the politics that get developed impact us as public health professionals. And it's very important to understand the process so you can influence the process. All right. I'm going to illustrate or go through some of the key players in Congress and the major interest groups right now. There are certain focus targets in Congress that deal specifically with health care. And the more you become familiar with them, the better you can be effective in terms of lobbying and strategies. All right. Lobbyists in Congress, they are there constantly. I remember I drive up to my office on Capitol Hill, and you could pick out the lobbyists. They were the ones with the $5,000 suits on and the alligator briefcases. But they really do serve as an important source of information. Healthcare lobbying is becoming more and more of a niche field because the expertise involved is becoming greater. The staff on the Hill is getting more sophisticated, and they rely on lobbyists who have backgrounds not dissimilar to yours and skills in advocacy to really educate, provide data. When you're on the Hill and you're working and you're a staffer, your life is crazy. You go in the office and you don't go home and you don't sit down and you barely have time to even use the restroom facilities. So lobbyists really provide data and analysis, and this is how you can influence legislation too, based on your expertise. They help develop and execute a political strategy in terms of what coalitions. They assist in re-election efforts. I'll talk about PACs in just a few minutes, political action committees. They bring innovative thoughts, and it's a very incestuous group. Most people have worked on the Hill, end up going to lobbying firms. So it's a network. It's a very small world down here. Okay, the House committees. Again, one of the first steps in familiarizing yourself with the lobbying game is to familiarize yourself with who has jurisdiction, responsibility for what. The biggies in terms of our agenda as public health professional on the House side, the Ways and Means Committee has sole jurisdiction over Medicare, Social Security, unemployment, public welfare. The Energy and Commerce Committee has jurisdiction over Medicare, Medicaid, matters of public health. And the Committee on Appropriations is a big one because they allocate funding for public health initiatives. So the first thing is to begin to find out who are the representatives on these committees. Are they from your particular area? Who's the chairman? Who's the ranking member of these committees? They have the most influence in drafting legislation, passing legislation. All right. On the Senate side, the biggie is the Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, and the Committee on Finance. The HELP Committee, as is referred to, has jurisdiction over most healthcare matters in the Senate side. The Committee on Finance deals with matters due to Medicare and Medicaid, maternal and child health. All right, so in addition to Congress, we have major interest groups that play a huge role in lobbying efforts. American Association for Justice and the American Trial Lawyers, they have one of the largest funded PACs, political action committees. They have been instrumental in slowing down tort reform policies. The American Medical Association spent $10.3 million the first half of 2007. Amgen, which is one of the pharmaceutical reps, interest groups, they spent $9.1 million first half. And Pharma, which again represents pharmaceutical companies, $10.7 million. Basically to tell everybody how well the Medicare Part D program's working. I guess someone forgot to tell them about the donut hole. So these are, by virtue of the money, the power, influence, long-standing relationships, these are the biggies. AARP, John Rother, has been around for years, highly influential. American Hospital Association has a very effective lobbying group. tactics. Basically, there's four tactics that lobbying groups and interest groups use. One is lobbying. We've touched on that a little bit. They will lobby in terms of, I call it educational lobbying, what we talked about, bring information about a particular bill, bring their expertise to the Hill. There's a lot of coalition forming now. There's strength in numbers, and SCHIP is a good example when we talk about SCHIP. They'll do direct meetings, face-to-face meetings. You look at any of these organizations on the previous slides, websites. They have very sophisticated policy statements, position statements, fact sheets, sample letters to send to your reps. The next method is political action committees, litigation, and shaping public opinion. And I'll say a few things about those last three. PACs. PACs are organized ways of pouring dollars into election campaigns for candidates, pouring dollars into supporting certain policies. The American Association for Justice, the former American Trial Lawyers, which I mentioned before, PAC in 2005-2006 was $2.4 million. This is some information from opensecrets.org, which is a great site on the web, where you can actually identify the amount of money that each organization has contributed to their PAC. These are for health services, HMOs. You had 3.5, with 68% going to the Republicans, which is no surprise. PAC contributions for health professionals, 64% went to the Republicans. All right. Another way to influence legislation is litigation, either by bringing a suit or bringing, that's a friend of a court brief to identify details of vague legislation. I don't know if any of you are following the recent litigation against the Department of Health and Human Services calling for release of Medicare data on physicians. It was a suit recently won by consumer unions. They are going to actually publish it on their website and look at physicians' volume-outcome relationships. Now, whether or not Department of Health and Human Services will appeal, it's still pending. Okay, shaping public opinion. I'll look around the room. There's a few of us who can still remember the Harry and Louise ads. Yes, I see a few heads nodding. And right, for those heads that aren't nodding, it was a middle-aged, upper-middle-class couple sitting around in their living room looking at the Clinton health plan, which was thousands of pages. And they simplified it to really a direct message that the Clinton health plan is going to ruin us, basically. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to take away our ability to choose providers. $15 million went into this campaign. As a result, we know what happened to the Clinton health plan. It disappeared, at least temporarily, until the following September. But it's a way that interest groups, basically the Health Insurance Association of America, put in the majority of the $15 million to create these ads. And basically, it's credited with squashing the Clinton health plan, or the major reason for squashing the Clinton health plan in terms of shaping public opinion. All right. Now, those are the tactics of the interest groups. What can you do as a public health individual? And public health people are by far the most passionate, and I believe if you have passion and tenacity, you can do a heck of a lot. So basically, you can lobby. All right. There's several ways to lobby. This is a great opportunity. You are literally 10 minutes away from Capitol Hill here. You can schedule an appointment. You can schedule an appointment with either the senator or the representative of your district. Now, rarely will you meet with the senator or the representative. You will meet with his or her staff, and that's okay, because staff does the majority of the work. the senator or the representative sets a philosophy, sets an agenda, and sets goals, but it's staff that's doing the day-to-day work. Don't ever poo-poo the opportunity to meet with a staff person. Okay? You should schedule an appointment. It's a crazy life. You schedule an appointment with the health LA, they call them, legislative assistant. And then you keep it simple. You tell them who you are. I am a public health professional. I am from such and such a district. And I am here on the following. If you have a bill number, it's very helpful. All right? And then you state your position. You're courteous. You follow up. Now, in preparation for these meetings, and I have the APH website, which I reviewed in preparation for this presentation, which is really extremely well done. There are position statements on that website, and I have it on three sites down. There are legislative agenda and priorities listed on that website. There are also communication to certain offices over the latest congressional session. So review the website, but you can be very effective with scheduling a personal meeting. All right. Basically, the legislative agenda for APHA has focused on public health infrastructure, healthcare disparities, and healthcare access issues. Main areas of focus right now are public health funding, SCHIP authorization, State Children Health Insurance Program reauthorization, health disparities, and the Farm Bill reauthorization. There are two particular bills right now. If you're interested, it's H.R. 333 and the Senate Bill 1576. It's to authorize increased funding for the REACH program, Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health, for $52 million to 2012, which would be a great way to make your voice heard if you were on the Hill. Okay. So in addition to personal meetings, what about email? Well, you know what? We used to get so much email in our office. You know what happened to email? Nothing. The House of Reps received $20 million in 1998, $48 million in 2000. Personally, I know other lobbyists will tell you email is a somewhat effective strategy. There are other ways to do it. So we have I prefer telephone call or letter writing over email. You can also write a letter. Again, identify yourself as a constituent and public health professional. Be brief, specific, and courteous. Don't have it longer than a page. ID the specific legislation in your position and ask for a response. And actually, when I met with this friend of mine who has stayed and lobbies for an organization, she said, you can tell my stories, but don't identify me. The key is to follow up. If the senator or the representative is from your area, he does not want to see a negative op-ed piece or letter to the editor. Follow up. All right, telephone calls. This is the U.S. Capitol switchboard number, 202-224-3121. You can ask for the office again. Identify yourself as a constituent. Identify the specific bill, whether you're for or against, and again, request follow-up. And the calls do just get documented. Be brief. You're speaking to, probably a secretary or administrative assistant, but it's getting recorded in terms of a tally. All right. This is a great resource for you, American Public Health Advocacy section on the website. It's www.apha.org/advocacy/activities/. All right. as I said, they have done a wonderful job in terms of putting their position statements out there. And it's very important if you're going as a public health professional to speak in one voice. So to review these materials prior to your meeting on Capitol Hill. All right. SCHIP, just a brief discussion of SCHIP. There probably wasn't a lobbying group in this town that didn't weigh in on this particular bill. For those of you that may not know, SCHIP was started in 1997. It authorized funding for those children and some parents that weren't eligible for Medicaid but had income levels where they couldn't afford private insurance. SCHIP has really been touted as a program with much success. However, we still have approximately 10 million children in this country who are uninsured. There was a large debate in Congress over SCHIP reauthorization and expansion of SCHIP. The lobbying groups all got involved, and as a result, previous versions of the bill had everything tacked onto it, from Medicare reimbursement and regulation to rural health funding. Much of the $227 million spent in the first year here on lobbying was attributed to the SCHIP reauthorization bill. Basically, what happened is coalitions formed with groups that you would think would not be together, like Families USA and the insurance companies. So every aspect of lobbying was involved in this bill. The dollar contributions, the coalition forming, the countless expertise brought to Capitol Hill, and the constant adding on to a particular bill that had a high probability of being passed of additional amendments. Eventually what happened was the Medicare amendments were removed from the bill and anything else, and we know that the House passed a bill, the Senate passed a bill, and President Bush in his infinite wisdom vetoed the bill. So it's now back. The Senate essentially passed the same bill, but it shows where lobbying can be effective, where expertise was contributed, where dollars were contributed, and where strange coalitions were formed on this particular bill. All right, so in conclusion, the first thing is to understand the lobbying process. If you understand it, it doesn't seem wrong, and it doesn't seem overwhelming. Get involved with your association. Just by virtue of you sitting here today, you're involved with your association. Your association has a presence on Capitol Hill. Again, the APHA does a wonderful job in terms of this and is very sophisticated in terms of lobbying. And the last thing is, don't forget your impact as a public health professional and your ability to influence legislation that will make a difference to public health. Thank you very much for your attention. I'll take a few questions before my colleague goes on, if there are any questions from the audience. Yes, ma'am. That you're not going to go away, that public health professionals aren't going to go away, that you appreciate their support in the Senate and the House, but obviously that this bill has to be passed. And just remind them that there's a lot of people out there in support of SCHIP reauthorization and SCHIP expansion for a program that's been effective. Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you. That's great. May I have your name? Oh, Diane Downey, Chair of the Action Board. Great. Thank you, Diane, and thank you for your comments. You know, and this is a wonderful way where you can really make an impact as a public health professional. And, you know, if you have a few moments, pick up the phone or send a fax. Try to get in to meet your local rep on this particular issue. And there's actually a very good fact sheet on APHA website if you just want to. And don't be intimidated, because you have the expertise. You're public health professionals. And the staff people on the Hill look for your expertise, because they're dealing with this issue and 15 other issues at the same time.